All right, brethren, take your Bibles and go to John chapter 15. John 15. I want to speak to you this morning about love. Christian love, which is called in our Bible, charity. This isn't going to be an all-encompassing study on love. It's vast. It's deep. The love of our God is mighty and strong and wonderful and glorious. And I can't say everything that the Lord teaches his people about love this morning, but we'll focus more so on how am I supposed to love you? How am I, as a believer, supposed to love you, my brethren? And I won't be covering everything about that, but the things which the Lord laid on my heart this week as I thought about this. Our love for one another is essential. It's essential because our God commands us to love one another as I have loved you, he said. And so we want to hear what the Lord says. We want to understand what our Lord is teaching us here, because he commands us to do it. And let's read the text. Let's read verses 8 through 12, but we're just going to be looking at verse 12 for the study. So our Lord says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, abide in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." How do I love you? How do I love another? How do we love one another? And that's what we'll be focusing on today in this passage. And I've titled the message, "How Do We Love One Another?" Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one whom the Father entrusted all our salvation to. God has appointed everything into his hands. He's ruling and reigning over all. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the appointed judge of all the earth, which God declared when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand. Peter declared in Acts 5:31, saying, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So this Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I love, whom I confess, whose name I confess before men, in whom I profess to believe, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." He commands us to love one another as he loved us. He doesn't give us any caveats. He doesn't make any exceptions for us, whereby we can excuse ourselves from loving one another if this is done or if this happens. You know, I'm fully aware that there are psychotic people in this world, abusive people that harm people. And even there, we are to love. But what I mean there in that sense is you may need help from someone else to help you navigate that correctly, because you're not necessarily to remain in that abusive relationship. But the problem is, when our brethren sin against us, we think this person's a psycho. And then we excuse ourselves from loving them or reconciling with them. But our Lord gives us no caveats, no exceptions to this rule that simply stands, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." But some things are very hard. Some things come by much prayer and fasting. And when I speak of fasting, I'm not saying a manufactured fast that we try to bring on ourselves, but when you're in a difficult situation and pressed and struggling in a great adversity, fasting comes upon us. You do get little sleep, and you do eat very little and have no desire for those things. That's a true fast. That's a true fast. And you do breathe and cry out to your God to help you, to give you wisdom, to strengthen you, to keep you, to comfort you, and to teach you. So some things are very hard and difficult. But how are we to love our brethren? How are we to love one another? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, we're told there at the end of that chapter of love, we're told that there now abideth these three graces: faith, hope, and love. It's written charity there, and we understand that to mean love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. These graces are given to us by our God according to the promise of our God: faith and hope and love. And the greatest of these, he tells us, is love. Why is love so great? What's the greatness? Why is love the greatest of those three things? It's because now in the flesh we are given faith to believe the promises of God. But one day our faith will be sight. We'll see with our own eyes that which our God has promised us. Now, today in this flesh, we have hope. It's not the same thing. It means that we hope for, we long for our God to bring to us what he's promised us. We believe his promises, and we hope for that day when that which he's promised will be brought into, and we'll see it and be dwelling in his presence with these eyes, with these sight, right, these risen eyes. But one day that hope will be no more, because we'll have received what our God promised us. But the one thing that never goes away is love. Love remaineth, even on into all eternity. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And so how is it, with love being so great, how is it that so often, as we go about our days, we do so in our interactions with one another, so easily forgetting to love one another, and what it means to love one another, and how to love one another, whether we're talking about our spouses, our family members, our friends, our fellow brethren here in the church? How is it that we forget so easily about love? Now, I know that we're generally very civil to one another. We show kindness to one another, and we're nice and pleasant in our general interactions with one another, as well we should be. And we speak well to one another, and we try to be gracious and kind to one another. But we all know that when an offense comes, especially an egregious one, the last thing on our mind is loving that one who's offended us. That's the last thing on our mind. It quickly flies away. And the reality is, it should be the first thing on our mind. You know, go over to Galatians chapter 5. Let's see. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. That's where we read of the fruit of the Spirit. These graces, these gifts which are born and wrought in us by the Spirit of God. And what's the very first one that's listed there? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the very first one that Paul lists as a fruit of the Spirit. Love. Love. And so it shouldn't be the last thing on our mind. It should be the first thing on our mind. How do I love my brethren? Well, why should I love you? Why should I love my brethren? Look over at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and let's look at verses 7 and 8 first. John writes there, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." We're interested. We want to know. How do I love my brethren, Lord? Because you say in your word that those who are born of God love one another. God teaches us that. He makes it known to us. We need to know this. Because in this flesh, we don't love one another. We don't love one another. I need to hear this. And God is faithful to declare that we are to love one another and to tell us that we're born of love, we're born of God, and he reveals love in us. Look at verse 20 and 21 of John chapter 4, First John chapter 4. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And so we understand this is a spiritual fruit. It said it there in Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not of this flesh, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. And we quickly learn how desperate we are for the grace of God and his Spirit to reveal that love in us for one another. And he teaches us that we are to love one another and gives us that spirit of adoption whereby we live, that we cry out to him, Lord, help me to love my brethren, because it's not of this flesh. It's not something that comes naturally to us or easy to us, but he tells us this, that we continually seek him. And as my brother was saying in between services, he keeps us coming here because we need to hear. It's by the hearing of faith that we're taught and reminded, Lord, you teach me. You tell me to love my brethren. Help me to love my brethren. And we know that through the hearing of faith. Otherwise, we go away, and the longer we stay away, the more easy it is to forget this word, which the Lord speaks to us. And so we come to hear it by faith. So how am I to love you? How am I to love you? Well, looking at that verse, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We see that our love for one another is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every blessing we have, every fruit that we have, every need that we have is met and given to us in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for his sake. The Lord is showing us that there are no spiritual blessings whatsoever outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole world is in his hand. He is the sovereign, true, and living God, and every blessing we have is in Christ, and we need him continually. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. In Christ. Ephesians 1:3. And Paul tells us your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3, verse 3. Everything we have, our whole life, is in Christ. And so everything we do as believers is by the life of Christ in us. And we need him. We need him, as we sung the first hymn, every hour. Lord, I need thee every hour. Keep me. Help me. Lord, teach me. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, bless me to walk faithfully by your Spirit and to be a blessing and a help to my brethren. So, loving your brethren as Christ loves you, it takes the power of the Spirit of God. You cannot do this yourselves. You cannot do this in the flesh. You need the power of God. So understand that to love your brethren, you're going to be loving people who are not always or necessarily lovable. You're not going to love your brethren who are blameless. You're not going to be loving your brethren who are without fault, but rather, as we have been loved by the Lord, when we are unlovable and blamable, full of blame, full of fault, full of sin, our Lord loves us. Well, so in like manner, that's how our brethren are. That's how we are. They're loving us when we're unlovable and blamable and at fault. And we're to love them when they're unlovable and blamable and at fault. And so our Lord tells us how he loved us. And we see the reasoning is that it's because that's how he loved us in the same manner. Turn with me over to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, and let's go to verses 4 through 6 to begin. And then we'll see another few verses in that same chapter. Ezekiel 16, 4 through 6. Our Lord reminds us of what we are in Adam, in this flesh here. He says, as for thy nativity, as for thy birth in Adam, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. These are pictures, what he's shown us. Thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Those are things that you would do for a newborn babe. You would care for them, and you would provide for them, and love them, and treat them tenderly and with kindness. But this wasn't done for us. We came forth rejected. We came forth undesired, unwanted. None I pity thee, verse 5, to do any of these things, any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, in thy sin, in thy pollution, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. What a picture of the preaching of the gospel. What a picture of loving one another by faithfully serving one another and dealing with one another in the grace and mercy of our God. That's declaring to your fellow brother, another sinner like yourself, live. Preach Christ. Live. That's how we live, by the hearing of faith. Drop down to verses 8 and 9. Ezekiel 16, 8 and 9. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. I covered your sin and your shame. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Verse 9, then washed I thee with water. I washed you with the water, the word of God, the word of Christ. Yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee. Our God removed the stain and the shame and the stink of our sin by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we are given to proclaim and declare what God has done for us in mercy and grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I anointed thee with oil. Our God sealed us with the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Spirit. Naturally, we are destitute. And naturally, we don't have the love of God in us. We're spiritually dead sinners. In fact, we're enmity against the true and living God in this flesh. That's how we are in Adam. Enemies of God. Enemies of God. But God is gracious. And God willed, He purposed to be gracious to you. Not because you're worthy of it. Not because you're worthy of His love, but He purposed to be gracious to you and showed mercy and compassion upon you while you and I were polluted in our sin, dead in trespasses and sins, unwanted, undesirable, filthy, cast off. God showed us great mercy. And because His love for His people, because He chose them, He gave us to Christ and put away our sin by His blood. What a mercy. What a grace of our God to do that for me and for you who know ourselves to be unworthy sinners. Now, it's easy to love a lovely person, isn't it? Someone who never offends you. Someone who's sweet all the time and kind to you and defers to you. It's easy to love a lovely person. Well, Christ loved us in our pollution. And in that ruined state, Christ made it the time of love for us. And He covered us. He covered our nakedness and our shame with His righteousness. He became what we are, was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we in Him might be made the righteousness of God. So how do I love my brother as Christ loved me and laid down His life for me? He gave up His rights and His glory for me. He bore the insult and He bore the shame and counted it joy that He would gain for us eternal life. And that's what we're looking to do. We don't want to cause our brethren to stumble. We don't want to be an offense. We don't want to block them and prevent them from hearing the gospel. We want them to come because that's life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need to hear this gospel and we need to be fed by this gospel. And so we don't want to be an offense to one another because we want people to come. But even when offense is given, don't let that stop you from coming and hearing the gospel. Come to be fed. Come to the waters of life freely. Come to the fountain of Christ's blood for the washing of our sins, to put them away, to teach us, to turn our hearts, to give us repentance, to show us our need and our undoneness and our brokenness, that we would seek Him and cry out to Him for mercy. And He softens the hard heart. He's the one who warms this coldness and makes us to see, Lord, I don't want to fight and war with my brethren. Help me to forgive. Help me to love them. Because love hopes all things. Love believes all things. Love never fails, but continues believing and crying out to the Lord to be reconciled and to forgive, that my brethren would forgive me for my faults and that I would forgive them for theirs, and that we wouldn't see those things, but learn to love one another and serve our God in this ministry which He's given to us. And that brings me, let's go on. That brings me to the next point here. To behold that we are the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ, and we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. That's the purpose that our God keeps us here. As He's teaching us and growing us, we're fit from the very first hour. We're fit for heaven that very first hour as we're ever going to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. But He keeps us here and gives us this ministry of reconciliation where we serve and minister what God has done for us, for His people in the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching, proclaiming, declaring the salvation of our God in Him. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19. And all things are of God. Verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us, His church, His local body, the ministry of reconciliation, to behold, to declare, to see the peace of God for sinners in Jesus Christ, to wit, or to make known how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, that is, Jew and Gentile, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, to preach and proclaim this gospel, to proclaim over and over what our God has done for us, to declare this good news, that we are saved, delivered, our sin is put away, we are faultless before the throne of God through the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one chapter earlier, in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And it is easy to faint and wither under the offenses that we're able and capable of bringing in this flesh against one another. But don't be. Don't let it wear you out. Don't let it discourage you or turn you away, but continue faithfully in this ministry which our God has given to us. And the very nature of this ministry is a declaration of God's love for sinners, undeserving, unworthy, blamable, at-fault sinners who are ruined and have nothing to give to God. It declares the love of God in the sending of his Son, who came in the likeness of this flesh, yet was without sin, and died in our place, bearing our sins, bearing our punishment, taking the death that we earned, that we should go free, alive by the life of Christ. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are declaring the love of God for his people who are sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, and cannot save themselves, and cannot earn or turn around to do good, that God would be merciful to them. No, but while we were sinners, while we lay in our pollution, in that blood, picture there in that newborn child, while we lay there in death, our God said, I've purposed and made it for you the time of love. Love. And so we're to love one another even when that brother is in pollution, that we might show them the grace which has been shown to us, and that we might be careful in speaking to them. Sometimes we do need to say things. Sometimes things need to be addressed, but done in a manner of love, being mindful of what we are in ourselves, lest we fall in a like manner. Always trusting and looking to the Lord, our God. And so, because it's a ministry of love, it's no strange thing that Christ says to us, love one another. Love one another. So, you might think, well, it should be easy to love one another. Well, it isn't. It just isn't. And God loved us when we were enmity against him. And being in this flesh, we see that sin yet remains, and so offenses will come. Offenses will come. Understand, then, that we're in a warfare. We've been given a ministry, but we're in a warfare. There are accusations. There are flaming, fiery darts that fly. There are whispers in our ear from the evil one that would turn us against one another. These things come. We're in the flesh, and we're in a warfare. The accuser of the brethren, that lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. He steals. He kills. He destroys. That's what he does. So give him no place in your heart. Seek the Lord for him to have no footing, no place in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts. When your mind goes to, I'd like to tell them a thing or two, say, Lord, love hopes all things. Help me. Love believes all things. Love never fails. Lord, keep my heart looking to Christ, that I may minister grace unto the hearers, I may preach Christ and show them the love that my God has shown me. Paul said in Ephesians, to that end of the warfare, he said in Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You stand in the hope that you have of the Lord Jesus Christ. You stand in him, remembering, we're in a warfare. My brethren are in a warfare with me. Lord, let me not turn against them. Let me love them. Help me to love them, Lord, as I ought. And Paul adds in verse 18 of Ephesians 6, 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, all your brethren. Praying for them, remembering the other churches as well, remembering your brethren here, praying for one another, because we have need, and we're all weak, and we need the salvation and the grace of our God. And remember that as we go through this warfare, this treasure that we have, this ministry that we have, this knowledge of the grace of our God in his Son Jesus Christ, and how he's delighted our hearts and delivered us from bondage and darkness and made us to know our salvation in Christ. Remember that as we love one another and hear his word, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of flesh, a tent of flesh, which is to be laid aside, but yet we have it now. And it's that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And hence, that's why it is a walk of faith. Because we don't see what we would see. We don't see it in ourselves. And sometimes we don't see it in our brethren when an offense comes. But let us remember, we're in a warfare. We're in this flesh. Lord, love them. Help me to love them and forgive them. And Lord, let us be at peace with one another. And so when difficulties come, and they will come, and you're offended by a brother, forgive them. Pray for them and love them even while they're yet unlovable and at fault. Don't wait. Well, if they change, if they repent, if they turn, then I'll turn. Then you'll never love them, perhaps, because they may not turn. But in you loving them and showing them the grace which has been shown to you, the Lord may use that and turn their heart and soften them as well, regardless of what the will of God is. Christ says, love one another. Love one another. Even if they never come to see it, just love one another and pray for one another. You know, the apostles and the faithful servants of God, they bore great insults against themselves. And yet, we see that they wrote these things in the scriptures. They didn't alter them. They didn't make exceptions. They didn't find a way to get around what Christ said. They wrote it exactly what the Lord said. And though it's hard for us to hear in the flesh, it's impossible for the flesh to hear. Yet, by the Spirit of God, we say, Lord, help me. Help me to love my brethren as I ought to love them, to love my brethren as well as my enemies. And I don't have all those scriptures, but as the Lord blesses us and keeps us, we'll see more and more how the Lord teaches us to love one another. And so, we don't expect our brethren to do grievous things against us, but when they do, understand there's a spiritual warfare, understand this ministry is at stake, that the gospel would be proclaimed from this pulpit, and continue with you the truth of the gospel as it is this day, that it continues. Remember, there's a warfare, this ministry, and understand that offenses do come. And when they come, pray for one another and treat your brethren with love. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then finally, minister the truth of the gospel to one another. When you speak to one another, speak of the blessing of our God in Christ Jesus. Minister that gospel. Speak of those things to one another. Whether you're just talking to each other, encouraging one another in that, or if you're speaking to someone who has offended you, speak to them in the light of the gospel, according to these truths, because our God saves us by the hearing of faith. Paul said it this way, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and doeth miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The law says a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We're not under the law. And we don't minister the Spirit to one another by demanding and preaching and saying, well, I've got rights and I've got expectations that you're to meet. When we make that our focus, it's impossible to love our brethren. When we insist on what we need and make that the priority, that's when we step on one another. We don't hear one another. We don't want to reconcile with them. But when we say, Lord, help me to love one another and to put them first, that's when there's love. And that's when we speak according to the truth of the gospel. So preach the gospel to one another. In Ephesians 4:29, and we'll be closing, he says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We speak the truth in the light of the gospel. We love one another in speaking that truth, and that truth ministers grace to one another, even as grace has been ministered to us by our God through the hearing of faith. So remember, we're in a warfare. Pray for one another. Remember that God has given us this ministry. And the way it continues is in love. Love for our God and love for one another. And remember to speak to one another in this truth, in the light of the gospel, in love. In love. Preach that gospel, bear witness of the truth, pray for one another, and love one another. And I pray the Lord bless that word. As you can tell, as you can hear, there's much, much more to say. Many scriptures we can turn to, but I pray the Lord fill your hearts with love for one another, a desire for him, a desire to love one another, and to grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you for the pity that you have for us in Christ and in delivering us from our sin, loving us even though we in this flesh are unlovable, and forgiving us of our sins though we in this flesh are not blameless and not without fault. But Lord, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but your love and mercy saved us for Christ's sake. And we thank you, Lord, for this grace in him. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that you give us a heart and a desire to walk faithfully in this ministry which you've given to us, that we would love one another and walk by faith in Christ. We do pray for one another. We ask that you would heal us, that you would forgive us of our sins and help us to forgive others, even as you've forgiven us, Lord. And we do pray for reconciliation when we've offended our brethren, when we've hurt someone. Give us a sensitivity to that, to know how to reconcile, to know how to love, to be at peace with one another and not at war, because we have an enemy and we don't want to be at war with one another. And Lord, we can't do this, but you can. You can. You can do all things. I can do nothing without you, but I can do all things in Christ, through Christ which strengtheneth me. We pray that you would reveal this to us and teach us these truths and show us your power, your might, your glory by the Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ, working mightily in us. It's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.